Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Magic Matters podcast. My name is Denny.
My name is Erica.
And we would like to invite you to pull up a chair or plop right here on the couch because we're going to have a conversation today and I'm going to learn a lot because Erica is in charge of this episode and I actually can't wait. I need to grab my pen because I'm sure there are notes I need to take for this. But before we get started, we just want to say hi and welcome. If you haven't already followed us on Instagram, please consider doing so. That's Magic Matters Pod. We want to just increase what we're doing here. So jump in over there. Give us a subscribe on YouTube. All the things. And if you're listening on audio, hi. We're glad, so glad that you are tuning in. Huge shout out that we want to start off the show
to our producer,
whoop, whoop.
Life Strong Media.
Thank you so much for all that you do.
We wouldn't be here without her. So
literally. So we're glad that she's here. And we're also glad that you're here as well. Erica.
Today we're going to have a pretty big conversation. I have a very thick stack of index cards here because I just have a lot of information. And I threw this one on Denny this morning. I was like, by the way, our second episode that we're recording is going to be about something that is being rumored right now, but I want to kind of dig into a lot right now. So, right now, there is a rumor happening.
Okay.
That a premium version of Disney's Lightning Lane is coming to the parks. So, okay. There was an article that went up on Blog Mickey, okay, about the possibility of a Universal Express style Skip the Line pass, okay? In this article, they say the rumored name is Lightning Lane Premier Pass.
Mm-hmm.
And this will allegedly come by the end of 2024. I'm thinking maybe more like 2025, if it's an accurate rumor. This article states that the rumored Lightning Lane Premier Pass would be similar to the Express Pass at Universal. It also states that it would only allow guests who purchase it to access an eligible Lightning Lane attraction once per day. So the standard once per day without having to book return time. Okay. So the standard Universal Express Pass is that you can only access that ride one time,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have to book anything. You show up, they scan the Express Pass, you walk through the line, you get on, you get off, and you move on to the next one.
Right. But that's your one time riding that attraction on that day.
Yeah, using that Express Pass.
Okay.
You can hop back into a standby line if you want to do it again.
Right.
But there is an option at Universal to get an unlimited Express Pass where you can ride that ride all day.
Wow.
You can ride the rides several times, okay? As many times as you want. They scan the thing. You get on the ride, get off. You can walk right back in.
Woo! Okay.
So they have two different levels there. So this obviously would come with a price increase to the current Lightning Lane situation, okay? And I know when we hear the word price increase at Disney, we all get very worried. Mm-hmm. But the mentality I've had since the moment Lightning Lane, Genie Plus, all that started was if this was at a higher price, mm-hmm. we wouldn't be seeing the backup we're seeing right now with Lightning Lane. Every time I've gone to the park, the Lightning Lane queue has been outside the attraction down the road. When, yes, a lot of us can be like, oh, $25? It's a lot for a family of four, but it's not stopping people from buying it, which is why the Lightning Lane is all the way down the road.
Mm.
At Universal, the Express Passes, they're not cheap. I was doing research. Their starting price is at $89 for the day. but
Ooh.
Because it's at a higher price point, not everybody is purchasing it, right? So that means that we're not having this issue at the merge of standby and express or Lightning Lane. You know what I mean? We're not having this, okay, two people from Standby, seven people from Lightning Lane. We're not, there's not that issue at Merge. So Standby moves a little more efficiently at Universal because the Express Lane is not backed up out the door. There's a small handful of people using Express, which means we can move the Standby queue a little easier, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's the problem we're having right now at Walt Disney World yeah. with our current situation. Because again, every time I've gone to the park, the Lightning Lane has been beyond the front door. And I think it is causing our Standby lines to have higher wait times right now. And I know we want everybody to be able to participate in the fun, right? Mm-hmm. And we should be able to get on rides using the Standby line without having to wait over 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, 45 minutes should really be the top.
Yes.
But when we are having this issue at the merge point of the queue where, okay, Lightning Lane takes priority, mm-hmm. so we have to push through everyone in Lightning Lane, and that is making the Standby queue have to wait yeah. longer, it's causing an issue. So when I heard the beginning of this rumor, I was like, I would not be mad. Would I be able to purchase it? No. But this product isn't for Mm-mm. me. Mm-mm. But it would make waiting in a Standby queue easier.
It would. Absolutely.
It would.
Yeah.
The other day, so a little behind the scenes of my life, I've recently been diagnosed with chronic pain. Mm-hmm. I have had the worst pain. Standing for longer than 20 minutes just becomes agonizing, honestly. So the other day, Guardians was backed up, and at some point in the queue, I was hunched over like this and having to sit on the ground to try to relieve any pain that I was having because things were not moving at an efficient pace. And it was rough. And, you know, I'm very thankful that I have people in my life who understand that. So when we go to theme parks, I have to be like, hey, I need to sit down. You can keep going right. or you can sit right. with me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm someone that I just need to take a lot of breaks. Because my chronic pain can get flared up by anything. Stress, too much movement, the heat helps a little bit, but, like, the cold makes it worse, like, okay. being stagnant in a cold place. There's a lot of things that go into it, so sometimes, like, I just can't wait mm-hmm. the 60 minutes. Mm-hmm. Unless I know there's gonna be a spot where I can plop myself down or lean on something.
Yeah.
That's just a behind-the-scenes look. But I wouldn't pay the premium price. But as an annual pass holder at Universal, mm-hmm. I am able to purchase the annual pass option that has an express pass that you can use after 4.
Okay.
Which allows... That. Yeah, so it was like, if Disney were to go this route, I would love to see it be an add-on, like how PhotoPass is an add-on. So if you wanted to add this to your annual pass, you could. And right. you'd be able to have, you know, you could Disney could limit it, like Universal, where it's mm-hmm. after 4, which is great for the locals. We don't go to the parks really till mm-hmm. after 4. And you could just walk on to whatever attraction you want. It's not an unlimited express, mm-hmm. but you can ride that ride once and head to another ride and get through that line quickly, too. So there was, I had a lot of thoughts just running around my brain when I first saw the rumor. Because I was like, well, it would help Standby. It would help the people who are willing to spend yeah. that money
yeah.
get a premium experience, right? Of being able, maybe you only have one day. Because when I used to visit from South Florida to Universal, yeah. we would buy that one day express, no matter what the price was. Because we wanted to ride every single attraction. And guess what? We did.
Yes.
And yeah. so if you're a family that only has 3 days... I mean, that in itself would be worth it. And as I kept thinking, I was like, another perk Universal has is if you stay at their deluxe resorts, mm-hmm. the express is included in your stay.
That's right.
So I'm like, that's something else Disney could add eventually. Like, if you are mm-hmm. staying at a deluxe resort, you get express already in your stay. Or you get, like, this premier lightning lane
okay.
with your stay. Mm-hmm. If they wanted to go that route. But again, my brain was just thinking of all the different possibilities that could come with this. Before I break down prices and everything, I want to know, like, When you saw this rumor floating around a little bit, where did your mind go in this?
Well, you know, Disney is in a place right now where I don't always agree with all this, all the decisions that they're making. They are in, they are consuming like crazy. They are having to monetize and then additionally monetize like every a square inch of their parks and resorts. They're having to offer pluses, paid for pluses, and then add pluses on top of those pluses. Mm-hmm. And things are becoming double and triple monetized. And then they're also making decisions like they're cutting the Aspire program.
Yeah.
That has hit the blogosphere. And to be honest, that is disheartening. So
very.
If you don't know what that is, it's Disney for the last handful of years has been offering this program called Disney Aspire to cast members, and they can get their bachelor's degree
or a master's
or their master's degree, and they will pay for up to 2 classes, I believe, per semester for people to continue on, or maybe it's even more than
that.
Right now.
It was like they were covering like full tuition. You could get your degree completely covered by Disney, and it would be like a standard, like it would take you the 4 years to get your degree. You would take the classes you need to take for those 4 years or however long your master's is,
right,
if you're doing a master's. And what is happening now, I have a few friends that use Aspire. There is now a gap in coverage. So Disney is only willing to cover, I think it's like $5,200 mm-hmm. of your tuition. And a lot of people left home
to move here
mm-hmm. to know that they could get their college covered while being a cast member. And now they're going to have to pay a difference. And a lot of those people cannot afford that difference. So the only way to get through your degree program is to take 2 classes at a time. Mm-hmm. So 4 classes a year, where normally every semester you take four classes.
Full credit. Okay.
And some people are being grandfathered in because Disney has completely axed the master's program.
Yeah.
You can no longer get a master's through the Aspire program. And I know several people that have gotten their master's through the Aspire program, and it was the best thing they ever did for themselves.
Yeah.
And now, if you are currently in your master's through Aspire, you're grandfathered in. You will get to finish. If you are currently enrolled in a bachelor's program, you are grandfathered until the end of the year, and the gap pricing won't affect you until the next semester that comes around. But it's pretty wild when you see how Disney is monetizing everything, but then takes away this benefit, and it makes me wonder what other benefits they'd be willing to take away from cast members. Because this was something that's really important, and it does remind me, in a sense, of the DAS program, because I know that the first thought process for Disney was, well, there are some people abusing this system because they don't want to be cast members, but they want free college, so they're just working for us to get free college. Okay, what is the problem with someone seeking education in a world where education is so expensive?
It's just kind of... So when I saw that information and doubled with the cutbacks in the Aspire program, that just makes me go, oh, that's a shame. That's a money grab. That's a shame. They're trying to bring, you know, they're just this. I can easily go to focusing on the money hungriness, the supposed money hungriness that is going on here. Yes, this is capitalism. Yes, this is a company. It's a privately held company. They're welcome to do whatever they want to. But I think for Disney fans, Disney fandom, Disney park fandom, is something that is handed down to the next generation. It was so cool to be able to bring my kids down here and explore the parks through their eyes. And then when we moved for us all to get our annual passes. Like, that was just so much fun and so cool. And some of my best memories and moments have been with my kids in the parks. Like, your mom has passed it down to you, and look at you now. Yeah. You know, you're living here and sharing your experience with others. Like, it's really, this is the important stuff. And so this becomes a hindrance to that happening, mm-hmm. to the generational handing down of this, because all of a sudden the park becomes, or a part of touring the park becomes unattainable for the family of four. Mm-hmm. That being said, I can hold that all in tension with the idea that you have had, that maybe that is not the worst thing. Maybe that will overall, making it more expensive, more of a boutique experience, yes. a bespoke experience that not everyone can have, makes it become, has good effects on the standby line. Because we've known for years, if FastPass, you know, before FastPass Plus, you know, didn't exist, or Disney Genie, may it rest in peace, didn't exist. Now Lightning Lanes, if they didn't exist, standby line would be so much better, because it would just be a constant churning through. But but now, because someone is paying a premium to be able to experience that expedited standby line not being a problem, that they get expedited through, like you're saying, there's a certain amount of people that they've got to let through from the Lightning Lane line before they let
someone from standby.
And you just kind of stand there in the standby, and you've waited for Frozen Ever After for 45, 55 minutes now, and they let a gazillion, so, you know, apparently, supposedly a gazillion through off the lightning line. It's really, really, really frustrating. So all that to say, I get it. It's frustrating, yes, but I think I get it.
Yeah. Well, it's like most things that happen, like, if this were to happen, there are some really good positives, right? But then there's cons.
Yeah.
Like, to everything. And that con is, okay, it is not affordable to everyone. But at the same time, because of that reason, that could end up helping the issue we're seeing with wait times. Because, you know, Magic Kingdom has, like, the most attractions. Mm-hmm. But somehow, we are still having an issue with wait times. And I think it really is when it comes to that merging point. And again, I can see the positive benefits of having a boutique type of experience, mm-hmm. like an Express Pass. And I can see the cons. That I can see both sides of this situation. But I just know, like, the argument comes, oh, but Universal's not as expensive. And I hate to break it to you, mm-hmm. it's just as expensive as Disney. If you do the math, we're sitting here, you're gonna pay around the same that you're gonna pay at Disney, maybe $200 less, but if you're a family that's gonna be using Express, you're gonna level out. Okay. Especially if you're gonna be like, I'm staying at the Hard Rock so that my Express is included in my hotel stay. Theme parks are just getting more expensive. That's the world that we live in right now. So I understand there are some people that'd be like, oh, but Disney this, Universal this. Unfortunately, we're at the point where both parks, it evens out at this point with what's happening. So, I just think, my personal opinion is I wish Disney did this boutique experience from the start. Because now what happens
absolutely.
Now what happens is we had a free thing that worked pretty decent, okay? We had a free thing.
And it was great.
And then we had this weird paid thing, right? This weird Genie Plus paid thing. And now we have the current situation. And I'm going to talk about the current situation. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, if this rumor is true, we have this boutique experience up here. So it's like, were you trying to ease people into the idea of, okay, I'm willing to pay to ride an attraction, right? Is it because you were easing them into it to then throw this? Or were you not sure that you wanted to have a boutique experience like an Express Pass? So like I said, we're going to get into what the current situation is at Disney World right now.
Okay.
Because things have changed. I want this to be a video that if someone asks, what is Lightning Lane at Walt Disney World, you can copy this link and send it to a friend. Okay? Current situation. We have a multi-pass situation of Lightning Lane. And a single pass. So Lightning Lane multi-pass is where you can pre-select three experiences, much like FastPass Plus, our old friend. Once you redeem one of those at the park, you can go ahead and book another available selection, something we're all very familiar with. Something that comes with this is that you can download your attraction photos as well. That's an added perk to MultiPass. Single Pass is what was the individual Lightning Lane system. So here you select an arrival time for a top attraction. Okay, so this is exactly what individual Lightning Lane was before, right? I broke down the prices for if we were going to go to the park today.
Okay,
September 7th. Okay,
let's go.
If we were going to go to Magic Kingdom today, and we wanted to do MultiPass,
okay,
it's going to be $25 per person. Now, in MultiPass, Mine Train is not covered, and neither is Tron.
Bless.
So if we want to get on Mine Train, it'd be $11 for you, $11 for me, and for Tron, $20 for you, $20 for me. So you paid $25 per person just to be able to do... Yep.
To ride the majority, to have a chance to ride the majority of the attractions.
Yeah. Okay. Because you are not guaranteed with MultiPass to get on every attraction. I think they say at least 3 to 4.
Yeah, that's all they. That's all that Disney is really looking for you to do, and they officially said that. Like, if you get on 3 attractions, they consider that a success.
Yes.
For your MultiPass day.
And what happens is, if you are not an early riser or an efficient planner, because with MultiPass, you can start planning three days before, return times will disappear, right? Which is why I look at this and I'm like, well, the pro of a boutique experience, like an express pass, you don't have to plan in advance. You don't need a return time. You show up, you scan your thing, you're in the ride. You're on the ride within 10 minutes tops.
It's pay and play, literally. Just
literally.
Easy.
If we wanted to go to our favorite park today, wanted to go to Epcot, MultiPass would be $18 for you, $18 for me. There's only one attraction there that uses the single pass option, which is Guardians, and that'd be $15 for you, $15 for me. If we decided, you know what, we want to go to Hollywood Studios.
Why not?
$22 per person for that one. And only one single pass attraction, that is Rise of the Resistance, which is at $22 per person.
That's crazy.
And then we have our beautiful little Animal Kingdom. $16 per person. The single pass is just for Flight of Passage, only one attraction, and that is $14 per person. Now, the hack that I've heard is that if you can buy, if you have a park hopping ticket, you can purchase any of these and it's still valid at another park. So, that's your good. Way to do this would be go to Animal Kingdom, do the $16, and then once you're done there, head to the next thing.
Sure, absolutely.
But the way I look at this is you're going to pay $25.25 for us to go to the park and maybe only be able to do 3 attractions. Mm-hmm. I would rather pay the $89 for a slow season day at Universal to know that I could get on every single attraction using that. I don't have to worry about a return time. I don't have to use the app. Like, you don't have to do anything other than purchase that little ticket and they scan it for you and you move right through that line. So it takes out the, well, let me check on the app, see if there's a time. Oh, it's 1 p.m., but the next time that we can actually have a Lightning Lane is at 7.
Yeah, and...
But we might be out of the park by that time. I have gone to the guest services booth with friends to ask for refunds on this. I have seen people at the booth ask for refunds because they were only able to get on one attraction, and then the other two attractions that they had booked went down.
Yeah, no, I've had to get an individual Lightning Lane, you know, so single pass, refunded before. Because I bought it for Rise, and it was right after it started, so I think Rise went down. Something happened, and they had extra guest relations cast members back there near Rise issuing refunds because they know, like, this thing again.
Yeah.
You pay again. See, we come in with so many expectations into our Disney vacation experience. From the word go, from the jump. because literally the people in St. Louis planning their trip have poured everything into it, tried to grasp what it takes to come mm-hmm. here on vacation. Do I buy a magic band? Do I not? Do I buy the Lightning Lane multipass? Do I not? Oh, I hope I can get little Bobby Sue on this attraction. It's her very favorite. Like, all of that. And then now you've added on to it with, oh, now that you've spent all this money, it might not allow you to ride every... What do you mean?
Yeah.
That multipass, you're okay with me only getting on three attractions for my multipass purchase. What? Like, I should absolutely be able to roll through the park and get on everything yeah. I want to. So if this allows people to do that, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
More power to them. It's hard for me because the family of four, it just makes yeah. that park experience more expensive.
I would hope that because like what we have with the current multi-pass mm-hmm. situation, there are different prices per park
mm-hmm.
because there are different number of attractions in each park. So I would hope that if they have this premier experience, that the pricing is different for yeah. each park yeah. that you go to, because I'm not going to pay $89 at Animal Kingdom. Magic Kingdom? Yes.
Yes.
There are so many rides I would pay yep. $89 to make sure that I could get on every attraction at Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And at Epcot, I wouldn't pay $80. I'd pay mm-hmm. a little bit less. But, like, Hollywood Studios has some of, like, the biggest attractions. Yeah. That's another one I'd be willing to pay money for because Rise goes down so often. Mm-hmm. And if you can be there at a good time... where you don't have to book a time and you just walk up, scan in, and get in there. Because some people, they book their time and that's just the time yeah. that Rise goes down. And they're like, we don't know when it's going to open because they don't. They don't know. But then you get frustrated because you're like, well, I bought my single pass specifically for Rise, but now I don't know
Mm-mm.
if I can do that. It's a lot of process that goes through it. But there are some things that I would look at and be willing to pay that price. Especially, like, my mom and I used to only be able to come for 3-day weekends.
Yeah.
And, or, like, my uncle and I would have 24 hours. We would leave South Florida 6 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
get to Universal by 9:30, and then be leaving the park by 6 to get mm-hmm. home at a decent time. So we needed that boutique yeah. experience yeah, yeah, yeah. to do everything. So I want to talk about the Universal pricing really quick okay. if we were going to go today.
Okay.
Right now we are in, we're in full-blown HHN season. This is not a slow time for
mm-hmm.
Universal.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be looking at some heftier prices than it would be in their slower times.
Okay.
So they have the option for a one park, mm-hmm. a two park. I'm just going to look at if we were going to just go to the one park.
Okay.
So if today we wanted to go to Universal mm-hmm. Studios, Florida, so just the Studios park, the one ride-through only option is $159 today.
Okay. Ay caramba.
Yep.
Okay.
That gets you on every single attraction at least once.
Woo.
That's in the park.
Okay.
If you wanted the Unlimited Express
yes.
for Studios, you can get on each ride multiple times.
Okay.
You're looking at $190.
Okay.
Person. Okay.
Great googly moogly. That's mm-hmm. on top of your park ticket for the day.
Yes. Which is why there's such a big benefit in staying at Portofino or
yeah.
staying at Hard Rock, because this... your room key, it says Express on it. You just show the room key when you get to the attraction, and they let you on.
Yeah, you just have to do
yeah.
the math in order to say, okay, so how much
yes.
more will it take to stay at that deluxe resort,
mm-hmm.
and then divide it by your touring party,
yeah.
the amount of people in your touring party, and then the cost per person there.
We need, like, a whiteboard to
yes,
do all
we
the
do. We
yeah.
Flow charts need to happen.
If we were going to go... to the Islands of Adventure side.
Yeah.
Standard Express. One ride through
mm-hmm.
per ride.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be $164. So, $99. So, it's $165.
Okay.
And unlimited express there. Today would be $194, so $195. The base price for express on a slow day is $89.99, so $90.
Okay.
That's during the slower season. And, like, those numbers, those are big numbers. But I'm going to let you know, not everybody that visits Universal uses Express. I can see Disney doing this premiere situation and starting it at the $80 range, but during the holidays, it being at this more expensive price range. Mm-hmm. But again, not everybody is buying the Express Pass at Universal. You know, even there are a lot of people that are diehard HHN fans. You want to see how expensive Express can get? Look at Express just for Halloween Horror Nights. Oh, but dear. People do it because you are guaranteed to get through every single house when you have Express.
Oh, okay.
Because you have a little Express line, they sign your thing, you get out, you do your thing.
Okay.
You get through all 10 houses.
Okay.
I had friends that had Express the other night. They did all 10 houses, all the scare zones, and got to eat food. Like, you had a full night, right?
Yeah, okay.
So, I look at that from the park perspective, because if you're looking at Universal Studios, walk through it. You got Despicable Me right in the front, the new Minions ride, Jimmy Fallon, The Mummy, Fast and Furious, Gringotts, Men in Black, E.T., Simpsons. There's like the whole roundabout of that park. There are a handful of attractions.
Okay.
And some of them are very popular attractions. And then at Islands, you have Velocicoaster, brand new, not brand new, but like a new coaster. And there's a lot of fun things there. Again, I can see the purpose for it. It is expensive, but here's the fun thing. You don't have to buy it if you don't want to.
Right.
And I think that is what makes the lines work a little bit better at Universal. Because you don't have to buy this premier thing to have a good experience at Universal. You don't. Mm-mm. But if you want to have an elevated experience, you can. And I think if we have that option at Disney, it can allow, I don't want to say normal, but day guests who are coming in with more of a budget, a responsible spending limit, to experience more than three or four attractions. You know, they can walk onto Pirates or the standby that's maybe at most 35, 40 minutes, and that doesn't eat up a whole chunk of your day. But on busier days when it's hitting 60 or more, and that lightning lane is down towards the merchandise location of the attraction, like, that just gets very overwhelming. So if we had this boutique experience of people who were like, oh, I don't mind, here's my wallet, go ahead, they can have that experience. And then us, the more budget-friendly people, can still enjoy the park to basically its fullest extent if you plan it the right way. But either way, it's going to shock the Disney community immensely. But I think you just have to remember, you don't have to buy this. You don't have to use it. And you can start to see how it changes our queuing situation. Mm-hmm. And again, I think right now this rumor spreading, a lot of people are putting their opinions on social media and they're trying to think this through. And I think the best advice I can give you is, one, it's a rumor. Mm-hmm. We don't need to freak out about it now. Two, if it does happen, you don't have to buy it the minute it comes out. You can see and analyze the situation and see if standby truly does become a better situation for all of us. Right?
Right.
And three, if you wanted to experience Disney at a different level, at a boutique level, where you can finally accomplish everything that you want to do, then that is for you. Okay? So you have to remember that if this is something that happens, it might not be for you. Or it could be for you.
Right.
You know? Don't think, oh, Disney's going to make me have to buy this. You don't have to. Right now, it feels like we have to buy Lightning Lane to even get on one thing because of how crowded our parks are getting. And I think a lot of it has to do with how standby lines are kind of getting out of control because of our Lightning Lane issues that we're seeing. So we have to think that there could be a solution to this. We might hate it at the beginning, but always remember, you don't have to use that service either. So, again, it's all just a rumor.
I would love for Disney, just in my mind, to surmise everything. I wish Disney would get to the point where they are not. It all feels very reactionary. We're reacting to what's happening. We're reacting to Lightning Lane not working well. We're reacting to longer standby lines, longer lines, period. I mean, the lines for food, all of it, so long. I would love them to get back into a proactive mindset.
Yes.
This is what we're going to do. Like, get the whole thing on lock before you, because right now, if this rumor comes true, what was this intermediate moment that we're living in where we had to rebrand single pass Lightning Lane and multiplat? Why? Why did we have to go through all of that if you're just going to wipe the slate clean and give us more of a premier pass moment? So I'd love for Disney to get back to a being proactive and really looking out for guest experience in the parks.
Going to hospitality school, you are taught the biggest thing is to exceed or anticipate the guest needs, you know? Yep. Before they even come to you with the issue, already kind of knowing the route that you're going to take, right? You want to make sure you're anticipating guest needs and you're going to exceed their
expectations.
Yeah, exceed their expectations and really be there for them. And when you were talking, I'm like, yeah, it feels like right now that we're in some sort of science experiment. Like, we're just a hypothesis right now for Disney. If we do this, then this will happen. Or if we try this, then this will happen. It feels like a little science experiment right now. And there was a time where Disney was so proactive in everything they were doing. And it really does feel like we're sitting in some type of science experiment waiting for Disney to get it right.
Yeah.
And, you know, we love Disney. Mm-hmm. We love Disney so much. But there are some things that happen that just are like, this could be better. This could have been handled a whole different way. You know, you could have added, you could have kept FastPass Plus, right? But you could have added a paid option that was like a boutique experience. Like, okay, if FastPass Plus doesn't do it for you and your family, guess what? You can pay this higher price to just get through the line. You know, you can get through every ride. Whereas like FastPass Plus, you're like, oh, I'm going to get this time and this time. Where the other one, you wouldn't have to worry about a time.
Right.
They could have done something like that. Instead, they were like, we're going to get rid of something that people have fallen in love with. Get rid of a free option completely and make it a fully paid option. I am someone that's like, there should be a free option for people who need that.
Right.
And if you wanted to create a boutique experience for a different group of people, you could have done that. So that both groups of people can still enjoy the parks. Because right now it feels like not everybody can enjoy the parks. And that to me is sad. So with that, I want to know what you guys think about this rumor. Really, I just want to know, if this were to happen, how would you feel about it? Would it be something that you'd be willing to pay for maybe once?
Yeah.
Just to see how it would change your Disney vacation. If you're someone who only comes once a year or every 3 years, would you buy that boutique experience? Or if you saw that the standby queue has changed to become more efficient, would you just do the base experience and get through those standby queues? Even if that meant waiting tops like maybe 40 minutes or tops 35 versus waiting 60 or more for an attraction. So I want to know, like, What would your first thought be if this became real, right? Also, I want to know, what do you guys think Disney would price it at? Do you think they would keep it level with Universal, below Universal, or above Universal? Above would be too much. I'm hoping for either level it with Universal or be below Universal. But again, we're looking at Universal, only two parks you can use Express.
Yeah.
Here we have four. So I'm very curious to see what that price point would be, and I would just want to know, what you guys think mm-hmm. that price point could possibly be mm-hmm. if we think same level feel, maybe below. I'm just curious.
It'll be interesting to see.
And do you think that this is something that Disney could add mm-hmm. to an annual pass or put this as a perk for a deluxe resort? Because we have had the conversation for years now mm-hmm. that perks have been leaving the scene mm-hmm. of people staying at Disney resorts. And if this was brought on as a perk for those staying at deluxe resorts, man, the amount of DVC members that would be so happy.
Oh, sure.
Like, to get an added perk back, because we have lost so many perks, for everybody. Like, so many hotel perks just gone. If they were to add this to a deluxe resort type of thing, or have this as an add-on to a ticket, mm-hmm. an annual pass, whatever, do you think that would be possible? Mm-hmm. Do you think it's something Disney could do? I want to know these things, because for me, I get passionate about this, because I hear it all the time. Oh, I have to wait in another line. We're in mm-hmm. a theme park. We do have to pack our patience. We do yes. have to sometimes wait for things. But do I think waiting 70 minutes, 100 minutes for something is overkill? It is. Like, that's a long time. Yes. It's a huge chunk out of your day. You might think, oh, I have a full day. But the minute that you're waiting 100 minutes for an attraction, and then you ride the attraction, you get out, it's time for lunch.
Uh-huh, it's true. It's true. It's true.
I'm just really curious to know all these things. Because the minute I heard this rumor, my brain went spiraling in a million directions. The good, the bad, the in the middle. Because I think it could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing. Who knows? Again, it's just a rumor.
Ugh, so much to talk about, so much to think about. More changes possibly on the horizon. We'll be with it. We'll be in it together. Like Erica said, we love the Disney parks. We want everybody to be able to roll into those parks feeling successful. We want to feel successful ourselves mm-hmm. on our visits to the parks, but everyone who is paying to come down here has taken off of work, has gotten the kids out of school or on the summer vacation, like has packed and everything. I want the hurdles to be less because it didn't used to be this bad. It also wasn't as crowded. It was a different world, yeah. But it didn't used to be this bad. And so there's gotta be a happy medium. So we're going to hang in there. We're going to brace for impact. Hopefully it'll be fine. Hopefully we'll be fine. But definitely let us know down in the comments. And listen, if you want to follow along on my adventures in the theme parks and otherwise, follow me on Denny_Sunderly. And Erica?
You can find me over at Healthy Dose of Disney on every platform. So come hang out.
Yeah, we would love to have you there. As always, please like this video. Please subscribe to the channel. We'd love to have you hanging out here. And share the Magic Matters podcast with a friend or five. We don't want to put limits on you, okay? But yes, definitely follow us on Instagram at Magic Matters Pod. We'd love to hang out with you there. Huge shout out again to our producer.
Yes.
Lightstrong Media. We're so glad to have Jaleesa mm-hmm. here in the room working her own kind of magic. So,
really just want to say thank you to you for sitting in on this big, long conversation.
Oh my gosh! Thank you to you!
All the information that I just threw on you.
No, it's
but
good!
But thank you so
it's
much.
Good.
Thank
it's good. You. Well, you're welcome, and thank you to you for sussing out all the details and explaining it to us as far as what people are conjecturing and also comparing it with the Universal Express Pass. I do think there's a happy medium in there for Disney fans. And for those who want to expedite their travels through the parks, there just has to be. And we know what is happening now seems to be quite unsustainable, to say the least. So thank you for dropping knowledge, dropping facts,
well,
spitting
thank
facts
you for
on
listening.
All of us. So
thank you for listening.
Yes, indeed. And remember, whether we have a paid Premier Pass model or you and I are just standing in that standby line, because that's where we'll be hanging mm-hmm. out, always remember that the magic matters.